Good morning, Governor.
Hey, Chaz. Good morning.
Hey. And congratulations on the inauguration. And
yeah.
We'll get to your dancing in a minute.
Were you guys there? I didn't see you. I didn't see you dancing.
No, we need an invite to go.
Right.
You did invite us to the holiday party. We didn't make that.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
How you doing, AJ?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
So today's a big day. Weed becomes legal in Connecticut at 10 a.m., 2 hours from right now. We currently have 9 dispensaries. How many do you think we'll have at the end of the whatever it is? Will there be a limit on them?
Not really. There's a local zoning. I mean, towns decide what they want to do town by town. But I think we're going to have 7 opening up at 10 o'clock this morning, 2 others soon to follow.
Oh, really?
And wow.
So not all 9.
And then I don't believe so. And then we've got probably 100 other social equity applicants who have been pre-approved. They've got to get their cultivation and store. They got some work to do. So many of those will open between now and the end of the year.
Will there be additions or modifications? What are the changes that are being discussed now to the law? Laws are made and then modified as we go along. Are there any modifications being discussed?
Not that I have heard as yet. I mean, let's get started. Let's see how the rollout goes. I think that consumer protection has done it very thoughtfully. It's a regulated marketplace. You know, New York opened with 1 dispensary. That seemed crazy to me. And we've got it available all across our borders as well. So I think we're not going to have quite the same rush you saw in some other states, but time will tell.
Well, that's the nice thing about letting other states go first. You figure out what they did wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was there a state that we modeled our program after that did it right?
I think that Colorado was one of the first, and they've got, 8 years of experience there. So we're able to take a look at that. We're able to work with folks in all the other states in terms of rolling it out. You know, the question was medical marijuana versus the independent dispensaries, and we decided to go a parallel path there. The medical guys knew how to do it on a regulated basis very carefully, so we thought that was not a bad place to start.
Yeah, that seems to make sense.
Yeah.
Do you have any concerns today, Governor, with this rollout? You going to be watching for anything?
Getting there on time.
Right. My place of mind is what I'm worried about.
Right. Hold my place!
No, I just want to make sure that, look, we're limiting how much you can buy to, I think it's 1/4 ounce, just to be careful, make sure that supply and demand more or less are together. And, you know, we'll change that over the course of time as we see what the market looks like.
Right. And, you know, you don't want people buying it all up, but then there's none for the medical patients,
right,
the people who really need it.
Well, the medical guys, most of them are really smart, and they got their monthly allocation earlier this week just to make sure they were they had the supply and they didn't get caught in the rush. But I think we've got 4 cultivators going right now, and I'm not as worried about the supply and demand mix.
If I'm caught with weed, will I have to prove that I didn't get it from a dealer?
I think that's pretty tough to enforce, isn't it?
Right.
Jazz?
Yeah. How would you do that?
Put a card, business card in there. Say, hey, I got some so-and-so.
Yeah.
Right.
Like you have a form.
I would turn that on its head. I just think having a legal alternative is going to be it's going to be really hard on the black market illegal dealers out
right
there.
It's gonna,
people have a legal alternative. They know it's not laced with fentanyl. They have some sense that the price is, you know, more or less competitive. I think we're going to put the, underground market out of business over a period of time.
When we talked about this with you, Governor, way, way back, before you were elected for your first term, I asked you if you smoked weed, and you said, yeah. When's the last time you smoked? Do you remember?
My first call.
I think it was many, many years ago.
Yeah, me too. I mean, last weekend. I don't smoke pot. I haven't since Young Chaz was born?
That Bob Marley concert in 1978.
That's right.
That's all you saw, huh?
Exactly right. But I'm doing Dry January, so I took a couple hits last weekend just to kind of help me through. I'm a weekend drinker, so.
Good for you. Maybe I'll try that next year.
Yeah. Dry January.
Right.
I like how you don't even commit.
January's already a pretty rough month. You're right. Got to double down. Yeah, you have a glass of wine.
Yeah, seriously. Got to have a belt every now and then.
I thought you were going to suggest February because it's shorter.
Right. Oh, yeah. That is the best one to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Rhode Island months.
Speaking of wine in supermarkets, you into that or not?
Look, I think so. I believe in giving consumers more choice. We've got an awful lot of great local vineyards that would give them a step up. So we got to work through that with the legislature, but it makes some sense to me. Don't you think so?
I'm all for convenience. So if I could not have to make another stop while I'm at the supermarket, grab my beer, grab my wine, I think it's easy. It's better.
Yeah, but not in January for you.
No, not in January.
No stops
exactly.
For him, no. Yeah, strictly just meat and potatoes now.
Yeah, my birthday was over the weekend. It's probably the first time I didn't have drinks on my birthday since I was, like, in my late teens.
Or any apologies the next day?
Yeah. I didn't have to apologize. I didn't have a hangover the next day.
What did I do yesterday? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Dad, what's your birthday?
January 7th.
Ah, I got you. I'm January 3rd.
Oh,
really?
Did you have a dry one?
It was nice.
Yeah, I'm guessing you didn't have a dry birthday.
I had to be sharp for January 4th, which was a pretty busy day for me. So it was pretty dry.
Gotcha. Yeah, like it was pretty dry. Not
right.
Completely.
Right, no. Yeah.
It was moist.
It was damp. it was damp.
I hedged.
Yeah.
I'm a politician. I hedged.
Yeah. You
got to. What else are you going to do?
Seriously.
We're going to be talking about movie soundtracks later with our movie guy. And is there a movie soundtrack that comes to mind, Governor, that you love?
Well, I kind of fell in love with Footloose on Wednesday night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's dance!
It took the Bacon Brothers a while to play it. We heard a lot of great stuff from their new album. I started feeling like the New Jersey chorus yelling Footloose, and they played it, and, you know, everybody was rocking. It was fun.
Yeah, people went bananas.
You know, Freebird, that's good.
Did you see the video of the governor dancing, AJ?
I've seen him in the past.
Yeah, the last inauguration, he went viral.
Yep.
And then there was some deal in Woodstock.
The Ned Stock.
Yeah, I saw Ned Stock.
Yeah.
Yep.
This Footloose video, AJ, you got to look it up. It was everywhere right after it was out there.
Smoother and drier, Skippy.
I'm interested in your dance moves because you are a dancer. One of the things I love watching you is that you could tell that you love doing it. And it's interesting that your top half of your body's doing one thing and your feet are doing a completely different thing. It's like watching Muhammad Ali box.
Chaz, I do a great imitation, a parody of an old guy pretending to be cool.
Right.
That's what I do.
Yes. I call it a dry heave set to music.
Yeah. Yeah. His feet's going, they're going bananas.
Right.
Yeah. He was literally Footloose.
Oh, my God. I'm watching it right now.
Yeah.
Looks like somebody heaved the floor up.
Yeah. It looks like he's dancing on a frying pan.
Like, ha, ha, ha. He's into it, though.
Chaz said, a long on enthusiasm, short on rhythm.
Well, that's the key.
Okay.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah, you're having fun.
Exactly.
That's very apparent.
That's the point.
Right. Yeah.
Go out to the dance floor. Have a good time.
Right. I can't do that. I think too much about other people looking at me.
Right.
And then I get very self-conscious.
Yeah, this is throw caution to the wind. Yeah,
I love it.
Yes.
I love it.
They say dance like you're dancing in your living room.
Right. And apparently his living room's right here.
Yeah.
That was my living room that night, I'll tell you that.
Yep.
The Bacon Brothers were great. Then we had a really fun DJ afterward. Place was rocking to Black Eyed Peas, I Got the Feeling. That was my fun song. Then I went home.
Now, when you say home, did you go to the...
11 o'clock, man. That's my hour.
Right. Yeah.
I lost the feeling.
It's funny. I'll start parties at my house earlier now.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, 11 o'clock, it's no more 3 in the morning.
Right. intentionally.
So sad. You guys probably know the Q, the state legislator. He was there that night, having a great time, driving home safely, and got hit by a wrong-way driver.
Yeah, oh, man.
Terrible.
Snaps you back to this horrible reality pretty fast.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on wrong-way drivers?
Last year, we had twice as many as we've ever had before. And, you know, something like 22, up from 8 or 7, which is the norm. I think it's distracted driving. I think it's alcohol. We spent tens of millions of dollars putting flashing lights up. And
have they worked?
Doing everything we can to correct it.
Where we put them, have they worked?
I think they have. You know, we know where the intersections are that are most at risk, maybe a little confusing, especially confusing for people who've had a couple of glasses of wine. So those flashing lights are up. We're probably going to have to do more. We put up wrong-way signs, 10, 15 years ago, and obviously it's not having the effect we need.
No, no one's reading them.
Nope.
We've had a couple of ideas. There was spike strips, and then, you know, the one-way spike strips.
Yeah.
And then we had Vince Candelora on, and he said, you know, the plow drivers are pushing back because sometimes they go up the exits.
Yeah. I mean, couldn't, like, have, like, a remote switch where they go down?
Yeah, probably not. Too complicated.
All right.
What was the other one? Oh, the rumble strips.
Yeah, the rumble strips.
What do you think about that?
I think within 10 years, our cars are going to have transponders in them, and you'll be able to remotely say it'll turn off if you're going the wrong way down an exit or something like that. They'll probably start with the trucks. You know, right now, you still have trucks going on the Merritt Parkway creating holy hell. So I think that'll be the first place you see the transponders in action.
I saw one the other night.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, good luck under the bridges.
We have bridges that raise.
So, all right, Governor, thanks for coming on. Are you going to go visit any of the dispensaries today?
Throughout the first joint?
No, I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm back in the office. But by the way, thanks for your toy drive. That was really great. I love the music you had there. That band was fun. And you guys do good stuff.
No, we appreciate you coming. No, we really do. I still have your T-shirts, by the way. AJ did not get them from me. He's not using them to wash his car.
I was drying.
They're in my office right now. So, no, but thanks for coming and supporting the event. I appreciate it.
I have plenty of those Lamont Bicewicz T-shirts if any of your guys are begging.
Okay.
AJ
All
wants
right,
a pile.
I'll see you guys.
All right. Thank
All
you, right. Governor. Take appreciate it. You. Ben with Fine Fatale Dispensary is on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for the French accent at the end of fettle. I like that.
Yeah. How is it said?
Fine fettle.
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 What is fettle?
Yeah.
So to be in fine fettle means to be in good health or good condition, and that's what we're doing with our products for our patients, and then in 58 minutes from right now, our recreational customers as well.
Right. You're in fine fettle.
Fettle. I knew it meant something cool.
Right.
Well, congratulations being one of the 7 opening today. How many do you have in all? You have a few, right? Newington, Stanford, Willimantic.
Correct. Yeah, so we own and operate 3 of the 18 medical, and we'll be 3 of the first 7 opening as hybrid facilities. And we're a locally owned and operated business, and so we're incredibly proud and excited to be doing this in our home state.
Awesome.
Thanks for finding time to come on today during a busy day. How do you prepare for a day like today?
It's really been 18 months of preparation. It's been from the day that RERACA was signed by Governor Lamont in July of 2021. We first went out and got local zoning in all of our municipalities. All of our towns were incredible to work with. And then we worked on all of our paperwork for what we needed for the Department of Consumer Protection. Then a $500,000 in change fees per location, some construction to increase our vault size, to add more registers.
And vault.
You know, the last, pardon?
Vault.
Vault.
Yeah.
Vault size, correct. And then finally, we just onboarded about 100 employees across our 3 locations.
Wow.
To handle everything that's coming, expand our hours, and, you know, be ready for all the customers who are really excited for this product.
I'm thinking you store all your weed in a vault at night, right?
Right. I would.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow. How much weed is at one facility?
So we have about $750,000 worth of marijuana products sitting in our vaults right now. A lot of it right now is in bags, stapled, prepared for each customer who's put in a pre-order. But it's an incredible amount of product held in a very safe and secure vault. And, you know, we're you know, ready to move through it because we hope it starts to move through quickly and, yeah, and really create a lot of tax revenue for the state.
Do you have a delivery service like BudHub?
We don't yet. We're still waiting. We want to partner with a social equity-owned licensee for delivery and who can, you know, work and make the product available right to people at their homes because it is allowed in the state, but we're not operating it ourselves.
So it is going to be a delivery item.
That'd be helpful.
That is
some
cool.
And some Doritos on the way.
Yeah. Bring me a pizza and some fine fennel.
Right.
Ben with Fine Fettle Dispensaries is on right now. Today's the big day.
Yep.
Are you looking for help? Are you looking for employees?
So we are in our next location, which is going to be in Manchester. We're right on Hale Road. And so we're hoping that location gets opened up by the end of January, early February. And so we're looking for 25, 30 more people there. And so those jobs are up on our website. And but in our other facilities, we didn't know what the start date would be. We found out 30 days ago today. And so we posted jobs and got 1,500 applications for 100 roles.
Wow.
And, you know, which I think is telling that people are incredibly passionate to be a part of this. And,
it's interesting to me, Ben, because restaurants and most businesses, you talk to business owners, say, I can't find people.
Yeah.
But clearly, there's an interest in this field.
Well, it's a cool field. It's a cool job. It's different.
Right. And I think it's cool. And also, there's a true passion about this plant. I think there's been such a stigmatization and potentially demonization. And so many folks have used this product for true health and wellness benefits, whether it's dealing with trauma, pain, can't sleep, anxiety. 95% of our even recreational customers are coming in for some sort of health and wellness reason. And so for them to be able to then say, wow, now I can be and work in this industry about something that I've been passionate about, you know, that's what this is about. Because what is life if you're not doing something that you care about? And, you know, so our employees are so excited to come and help anyone who comes in, whether you are petrified and nervous, but somebody told you it might work, or whether you've been doing this for 60 years, you know, we want to be there for you and reach at your level. And so that's exciting. And I think that, you know, garnered a lot of people to want to be a part of what we're doing.
What kind of experience do you need to work at a dispensary?
Sure. So to start, because we've been a medical dispensary in all three of our locations, and it's a pharmacy-based system. So we have pharmacists in all of our locations. And before we had dispensary technicians who generally when you go to a pharmacy, the person giving you your prescription is probably not a pharmacist, it's a dispensary tech. But now, as adult use opens up, we got to open up our applicant pool. And so we have a lot of folks who have been either in inventory management type roles, in customer service roles, because at the end of the day, what is any business without great customer service?
Right.
And so, you know, those sort of values that people care about, which is compliance or organization or just making people happy, those are the things that we're really looking for as a company when we onboard and staff and interview.
You know, there's that name or title for the person who knows everything about wine.
It's a sommelier.
Yeah. Is there a name for a person who knows a lot about weed?
Sommelier.
There's sort of like the cannabis sommelier. There's not like
there's not a name yet.
Oh.
There's
there should
not a specific
be.
Sort of jurisdiction yet, but there should be because these strains are in the same way as grapes, right? They are crossed and they come from different parts of the land and the world and the earth, and whether it's grown indoor, outdoor, and different humidity levels with light, you know, there are different flavors and smells and tastes and feelings that you get. And so this is definitely going to be something that comes up further. And, you know, but there are definitely folks who they can smell, they can look, and they can tell you what the genetic crosses are. It's pretty incredible.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Ben with Fine Fettle Dispensaries is on. Today's the big day. How many different flavors or types do you have in stock?
Sure. So I think on our opening adult use menu, we have about 65 different SKUs, and that is just like the opening day. In our medical menu, We have up to 400 various SKUs, and wow. It's not just the strains, right? It's the strain, it's the dosage size, it's the ingestion mechanism, right? So we have flower, we have pre-rolls, we have vapes, we have in medical concentrates, we have gummies, we've got gummies of different flavors, we have different edible types. And so when you take it all across the board and then add the strains, the possibilities are ultimately limitless.
That's pretty wild. So it's like wine. Yeah. If there are certain California wines where you don't want that year because it was the season wasn't great.
The rainy season or something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that the same with weed? You don't want this type of weed from this state because they had a certain whatever if it was grown outdoors.
So first and foremost, everything that we are selling has been grown from seed to our sale in Connecticut. That
nice.
Is what makes a legal market happen in this country because it's federally illegal. So the second you start crossing state lines, that's when you're a drug dealer.
Oh,
gotcha. Not a legal cannabis operator.
Gotcha.
So,
right.
So everything though, is coming
red.
From inside Connecticut.
Right.
Great.
Right.
What's the? Is there a most popular flavor, brand, type?
Honestly, one of the really interesting parts about cannabis is that because everyone's body is different, the impact is different. So if we had 100 people try the exact same product, we would get 100 different outcomes for those folks. And so it's
right.
really an unbelievably personal experience and a personal reaction that, it's our job to help you figure out what is the right way and the right time and the right thing for you.
I'm guessing anxiety is the thing that most people walk in and say, I'd like to help or lower, fix this.
Yeah.
Right?
Definitely anxiety, sleep is a huge element, and
oh.
just aches and pains. I mean, cannabis, right, is made up of cannabinoids, and CBD is an incredible anti-inflammatory, and THC really opens up your body and mind and system. And so how all of those cannabinoids and how all of those terpenes, which are the smells and the oils, come together in the entourage effect, that's what makes the various experiences happen for each person.
Should be a Monday blend.
Ben, we have
the Monday blend.
Monday morning and your Friday night might be a totally different product.
Right. Nice.
Ben with Fine Fettel is on. Let's act like weed is a puppy and your people are leaving your place now
yeah.
with weed. What would be the top three things you tell them they should keep in mind when they bring this puppy home?
Well, the care and feeding your weed.
So, first and foremost, don't give it to your dog. But really, make sure that your kids can't get anywhere near it.
Perfect.
It is a
good one.
Right? This is a drug, and there is an effect that is not suitable and right for everyone. So safe and secure storage is absolutely number one. Number two is go low and slow. So don't, smoke the whole joint right away, or don't take too many milligrams of the gummies at once. You know, find what's right for you, and there's an experiment. And third is, if you don't like it, that's also okay. If you love it, that's also great, because this is a personal experience, and so people figuring out what's right for them is really key.
That's great.
There's no return line.
And how do you – is there a
– return this.
Yeah, no returnables. Is there a way to keep it fresh?
Yeah, like a humidor with cigars and whatnot?
Yeah.
Sure. So flower generally, people keep in a sort of like not vacuum packed, but an airproof jar, and they make these specific humidity packages that help it keep the right humidity level in essentially the jar where you keep it. Someone's buying concentrates, you generally want to keep those in a fridge. If someone is buying a vape, it's sort of, don't get too hot, don't get too cold. There's general safe storage mechanisms. I wouldn't keep it sort of, in extreme temperatures, but it's a pretty easy pickle product. The toughest one is definitely, though, the flower, because you want that to have the right level of moisture so that it can burn the way that you want it and have it give you the best flavor and taste.
That's awesome. Ben, thanks for coming on. Thanks for finding time for us on today.
Good
this
luck today.
Day.
Yeah.
The day.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's a really exciting day for the state and the history, and 44,000 records were expunged last week by the governor, and
really
that's
cool.
More what this is about. And so this is representative of something larger. But thank you so much for having
thank
me.
Thank you.
Welcome you guys to come down as well.
I'm in. I want to walk in just to smell the place.
Give you a personal tour.
Thank you, Ben. I'm going to take you up on that. Yeah.